Loving Father in heaven, help me, dear God, as I attempt in my human weakness to do a work that angels would love to do. You sent me, Father, I've come. I'm willing to be used as an instrument, Father. I offer no resistance. Grant me the words to speak. Remember the words of David in 2 Samuel 23, verse 2, when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." Father, put Your words in the very instrument of speech, my tongue, that the words I speak may be Your words. I pray a double blessing on all Your sons and daughters, and a special blessing on all the visitors who are not members of this church, but visiting with us. May the experience be so sweet that they will come again. Father, wherever Your people are worshiping You now, bless them, and across the thousands of miles that may separate us, unite our hearts through one spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, let God's people say, amen and amen. Our subject, Abraham the Evangelist. What did I say? Genesis 12, reading from verse 1. We read from the King James Version of the Bible. Genesis 12, reading from verse 1. It is one of the most, in my view, critical passages of the entire Bible. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. If you found it, say amen. Amen. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee," finish the verse, "shall all families of the earth be blessed." Let's reread and observe some things. Now, there are some places where we will insert the pronoun I. It is missing physically, but it belongs practically. Let's read again. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house." Pause. And notice the three levels of severity in that call. Get thee out of thy country. That's one level of call. There are people who place faithfulness to country above faithfulness to God. If you say anything, I'm a United States citizen, I'm proudly that. I've spent most of my life in this country. I love it. But I've traveled and in and out. I've seen some of us who are willing to get into a fight. If you say anything about the U.S., that's not pleasant, even though it may be true. So if someone says the United States, by all available evidence, is the two-horned beast of Revelation 13, 11 through 18, someone may want to strike you down. People defend their countries. During the World Cup, every country, every spectator is waving the country's flag. God said, "Abraham, leave that country. Leave your father, leave your kindred." Well, we love our family. We go to Ancestry.com and we research our roots all the way back to Columbus. We're proud of our relatives. We're related to George Washington. We're connected to whomever, Alexander the Great. We love to do that. God said, "Leave your kindred." Then God said, "Leave your father's house, your immediate family, your place of constant comfort, that which above all others provides identity. That place where you can be you without undue criticism." God says, "Leave it." In other words, place yourself in a position of exposure and vulnerability so that you sense a need. Finish my thoughts. For me. Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. Be willing to change your culture. That's one word I hate. It's a good word, but I hate it. Wherever I go, "But it's my culture." I don't care. It's not of Christ. It is some cultures to have more than one wife. even in the Adventist church. I go to places around the world where Adventist men have a wife in one town, a wife in another town. And they're elders. But it's the culture. But it's not of Christ. There are atrocities committed in the church in the name of culture. So I don't like the word culture. It's a good word. I don't like it. We must be willing to... Christ left his culture to be part of this culture. To come to the sewer of sin. That's the culture he came to. He left his heavenly culture. In order to evangelize, we must be willing to make how many sacrifices? Any. There must be nothing that we can withhold from God if he demands it. And so I read again. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now we're going to put in the word I. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. With all the eyes. Think. Rehearse what I just read. With all the I. Who does the work? God. Through whom? When we are obedient. It's connected, yes. Obedient. Now, listen to Hebrews. Don't go there, just listen. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He obeyed the voice of God. I say again, I is a message to us. It is my work, says God. You are my instrument. No wonder the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord added. Not I. Not Mark Finley, God double bless him. Not Doug Batchelor, God double bless him. But God. Let's look again at what God said to Abraham. Let's look at verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. Now the word great appears twice in that passage. The beginning of 2 and the end of 2. Two different Hebrew words, but related. And I will make of thee a great nation, and that suggests numerical superiority. Multiply. But I will make thy name great towards the end, and thou shalt be a blessing. It means something of increasing significance or importance. Increasing. Great. Let's focus on the first great. And I will make of thee a great nation. God promised Abraham his descendants would be numerous. Follow me closely as I dwell on that. Let's go to Genesis 13. Our subject is what? Abraham the evangelist. Has anyone said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth? Anyone prayed that prayer yet? God bless you. God bless you. I mean that genuinely. God bless you. Genesis 13. We'll read from verse 14. Lot and Abraham have separated in verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 13, we have a description of the men of Sodom in verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. We're reading verse 14. Northward, eastward, and northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest. To thee will I give it. Finish the verse. And to thy seed forever. Read the next verse. And I will make thy seed what? As the dust of the earth. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. God promised Abraham his seed would be beyond quantification. Let's go to Genesis 15. You read from verse 1. Abraham the evangelist. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what shalt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Verse 5, read with me. And he brought him both abroad, and said what? Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars. The word tell there means count. If thou be able to number them. Finish the verse. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. As numerous as the stars of heaven. And in chapter 13, as the dust of the earth. That's one promise God made to Abraham. Question. How were the seed of Abraham to become so numerous? Now, when you hear the seed of Abraham, well, before I go into that, let me give you a clue by going into the next phase of the message. Let's go to Genesis, stay in Genesis 13. We shall read from verse 14 again. We'll read to 17. We're looking now not at his seed, but at the land. And the Lord said unto Abram, and God said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. Pick it up now. Northward and eastward and westward. Stop. What is north, south, east, and west? The four cardinal points of the compass, four directions. North, south, east, west. Follow me closely. In other words, God is telling Abraham, look as far as you can look in any direction and all. Those are the four directions. Any other direction must have north or south in it, or east or west. Either northeast, southwest, southeast, north. You have to have that. It's north, south, east, and west. And God says, look. All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Forever is a big clue. Did the Israelites possess Canaan forever, yes or no?
No.
Did God lie?
No.
Then forever must have an application beyond the present. Ah, you lost me. Or did I lose you? Forever must have an application beyond the present, because God cannot lie. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And God said, I will give it to you and to your seed forever. Question for you, based on Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died not having received the promise. All right. Question for you. Middle row. Did God promise to give Abraham that land? Yes or no? That row. Did he get it in his lifetime? That row. Did God lie? Something has to happen. There must be an application that extends beyond this life. Now, Paul makes it easy for us. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. We shall read verse 13, our subject, Abraham the evangelist. Romans 4, reading verse 13, 10 minutes to 9. The sun sets at 9:30, okay. All right. What book did I say? Romans, what chapter? 4, what verse? 13. Do you have the King James Version? Read with me. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world. So when God told Abraham, I will give you these countries. Yes, God meant it as a practical application then. But he also meant it beyond the present. Because God wanted Abraham to understand this Canaan land, which your descendants will occupy, will simply be a symbol of the greater Canaan land to come when the meek, finish the verse, shall inherit the earth. And so when God told Abraham that I'll give this land to you, God ultimately meant the entire world. Now let's take that greater application and apply it to the number of his seed. Verse 16, Genesis 13. You were in Romans, let's run all the way back to Genesis 13. We'll read verse 16, our subject, Abraham the evangelist. We just saw that the land had not only a local application, it had a larger, higher application. Abraham died, never having received a land, but God can't lie. Abraham must get that land. So one day God will raise him up, can you say amen? And finally fulfill his word. Not even death can prevent God from keeping his word. Can you say amen? Trust this. Verse 16, and I will make thy seed how? As the dust of the earth. Stop. You know, God told the Israelites, I didn't choose you because you were great in number. You were the smallest of all nations. Smallest. How could the smallest of all nations eventually become so vast? Let's go to Genesis 17. Let's get some big, bolder-sized clues. What's our theme for camp meeting? Grow, Michigan. Our subject for today, Abraham the evangelist. Genesis 17, we shall read from verse 1. If you have it, say amen. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee how? Exceedingly. So here again we have the promise of numerous seed. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of, finish it for me, many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. Why? For a father of many nations have I made thee. So we have multiplied thee exceedingly. We have father of many nations, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee. Kings shall come out of thee. Verse 6. So we have Abraham multiplying his seed. Just, and I keep stressing that because I want to make a point. Now let's go to verse 9 of Genesis 17. And someone ought to tell me, slow down. Feel free to do that as favor number 4. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, finish the verse, thou and thy seed after thee in the generation. Now, listen carefully. Thou shalt keep my covenant, you and your seed. We saw, listen closely, don't let anyone disturb you, that the land had a spiritual application. Are you with me? Let me see if you are. When God said, God actually gives the boundaries in Genesis 15, verse 18, I think it is. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, Genesis 15, I think it's verse 18. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, Genesis 15, 19 through 21. So a vast land. Now, the land had an immediate and a higher application. I want you to consider that the prophecy that Abraham would have numerous seed had an immediate and also a spiritual application. How were his seed to be so numerous? Listen to God again. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and who else? Thy seed. But the Bible says in Galatians 3:29, if he be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. How many ways does God save a man? Or a woman? How far back does that method go? Genesis. What chapter in Genesis? 3. Where God covered Adam and Eve with the coats of skins. Let me say it again. There has always been one way to be saved. Through faith in the atoning blood of Christ. That amen was lifeless. Do you have another theory of salvation? There is only one way There has always been one way. That's why Christ is the Lamb, not slain from 2,000 years ago. From the foundation of the world, meaning only through the blood of Christ from as far back as you and I can go, can anyone be saved. Now I'm saying again, God says to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed. Who is the seed of Abraham? The who's we? Let the text help us. Let's go to verse 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Finish verse 10. Every man shall among you shall be circumcised. Verse 11. And he shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be for a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. Read verse 12 if you have my version. Oh, Genesis 17, sister. I thought we were already there. My apologies. Genesis 17. Do we have that? You have my version?
Yeah.
Read verse 12 of Genesis 17. And he that is what? It is old shall be circumcised among you. Go on. Every man-child in your generations. Finish the verse. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. Stop. This includes non-Hebrews. Listen. Thou shalt keep... How many covenants does God have? He has one everlasting covenant. Well, he has the Adamic and the Abrahamic, the Noahic. But the everlasting covenant is what he's referring to. That's the one that encompasses salvation. Thou shalt keep my covenant, thou and thy seed. Now, who is the seed? Those born in your house. Isaac. And Isaac's children. And his children's children. And those bought with your money. As the land had an immediate and a spiritual application, the multiplication of Abraham's seed had an immediate... It's not just Jews producing Jews. Biologically, it is Jews producing Jews evangelistically. Can you say amen? Which means, but you remember I read Genesis 15? Listen to Abraham. Genesis 2, Genesis 15, verse 2. And Abraham said, Lord God, what shalt thou give me, seeing I go childless and the steward of my house? Is this Eliezer from where? Damascus. Eliezer was not a Hebrew, but he was a man of God. You're not listening. You don't like me. Listen to me. Eliezer was not a Hebrew. But whom did Abraham choose to go find a wife for Isaac? Eliezer. Because it is not your national origin. It is your surrender to Jesus Christ. And Abraham, being a man of faith, he realized that no Hebrew descended from his relatives qualified to find a wife like Eliezer, the non-Hebrew. The gospel is for the world. And so we go back to our first passage, verse 3 of Genesis 12. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, who can finish that verse, shall all families, not just the Hebrew family. There are some Adventist churches where the only baptisms that take place, I speak kindly, are baptisms of those, you know, my son was born 15 years ago, now he's baptized. Which is good. Then 6 years later, there's another baptism. When somebody goes from 6 years to 13 or something. So we baptize our children and our children. Fine. But we don't go and find the Eliezers. Are you with me?
Yes.
And when we do that, we get in the way of God's fulfilling His word. I will make your seed like the dust of the earth. Because part of that seed means the coming in of the non-Hebrews.
Amen.
Listen to God, Jesus Christ. when he healed a centurion's servant. Don't go there, but just listen. Matthew 8. When the centurion said, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. And I say to this man, come, and he come. To another, go, and he goeth. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Verse 10 of Matthew 8, the Bible says, "When Jesus heard this, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from where? The east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom..." Now, we have two groups. Who are the children of the kingdom? The Jews. Who are those from the east and the west? The Eliezers. Abraham's seed, at a spiritual level, always included those who would come to know God through Abraham's ministry. Amen. "I will make of thee a great nation." What did Paul say in Romans 2:28? "He is not a Jew which is one inwardly or outwardly. He's a Jew which is one inwardly." And so God counts the Eliezers who have become spiritual Jews. So just as the promise of land had a higher and wider application, the promise of seed had a wider and a higher application. You just don't, because you're white, you just evangelize white people. Go evangelize some black folk. Or because you're blue, you just evangelize blue people. Or because you're pinstripe, you just evangelize the pinstripe. No, the Spirit of God touches any heart. Let me give you something to consider. Abraham is a symbol of whom? Abraham, who sacrificed his son, is a symbol of whom? God the Father. Isaac is a symbol of whom? Rebecca is a symbol of whom? The church. Eliezer is a symbol of whom? The Holy Spirit. That goes to find the church for the Son at the command of the Father. And the one that represents the Spirit is a non-Hebrew. We need to get out. You see, the Jews did not understand that. And so they became very, what's the word when father has a child with his daughter in there? Incestuous. Just keep it ourselves. Let's just reproduce within ourselves. Let us not expand the gene pool. Absolutely wrong. The gene pool is humanity. Somebody say amen. Amen. Christ died for the world. So when we think of Grow Michigan, don't just have your crusades in Sterling Heights. What's the posh area in Grand Rapids? Grand whatever. What's the upscale area in Gladwin? Huh? What's the upscale area in Grand Haven? What's the fancy area in a Bad Axe? No, reach out to downtown Detroit. God has some members to be part of the seed gene pool. Reach out to Saginaw. They are to be included in the seed that cannot be numbered. Sin is not a problem for Gentiles to be solved by Jews. You didn't hear me. Let me go to my room and sleep. You're not listening. Sin is not a problem of Gentiles to be solved by Jews. Sin is a human problem. And the answer, Christ, is the universal solution. And so Abraham was an evangelist. Because God told him, "He that is 8 years old, shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house," verse 12, Genesis 17, "and he that is bought with money of the stranger which is not of thy seed." He that is born in thy house, verse 13, he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, whether a direct descendant biologically or someone you bought. When they accept my covenant, you and they become one. My brothers and sisters, this is Grow Michigan. When Michigan grows, Michigan must look like the rainbow. I heard nothing from that side. I said, Michigan must look like a rainbow. All right, you repented. I appreciate that. Evangelism is a movement to fulfill God's prophecy that Abraham's seed will be so numerous, and it comes to its fulfillment in Revelation 7, verse 9. And I beheld, and lo, a multitude which no man could number. Now, from verse 5 to verse 8, we have of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph and Benjamin, 12,000. Then we have a multitude which no man can number, the Eliezers of Damascus. In the same heaven, and with one father, name him Abraham. Let me tell you something. Biological connections are not as important as spiritual connections. As I was talking to the distinguished elder Mitchell before I came up, when Christ was on the cross, dying, he looked down and he saw his mother. According to Matthew 13, 54, 55, Christ had four brothers. You can call them half, but they're four brothers. He gave his mother to John. Because Christ had a connection with John he apparently had with nobody else. John the Baptist was his cousin. John was not related. When John the Baptist was in prison and Jesus found out, he left the area. Left his cousin in prison. Are you listening to me? When Christ rose from the grave, he took some saints who had died with him. He left his mother. So it is not these sentimental biological connections. They are fine. Thank God for them. But it is the spiritual connection where you've got to make a choice. And so when we evangelize, let's form connections based on a choice to obey God and to do all we can to swell the numbers of Abraham's seed in fulfillment of God's word, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. Genesis 26, verse 4. Abraham was an evangelist. And Jesus said, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. How many of us are children of Abraham? That's your right hand. You're a child? Yes. Then we must be evangelists. I was in Tanzania, lovely country, many years ago. Heard an amen, probably visited Tanzania. And I went to conduct a campaign 3 weeks in the capital city, or the city of Dar es Salaam, right on the coast, city of peace. And I love to go to the gym to exercise because I need to be strong. My Bible is heavy. Can you say amen? So I went looking for a gym. A local elder went with me. We found a nice little gym not far from where I was staying. So we went in. The receptionist, lovely lady, sat at the front desk. And I told him, tell her in her language, Swahili, why I've come to her country. I want her to come. He told her. She came the first night. Came every night. Got baptized. Now, do you need to be an evangelist to do that? You just need to love souls. Are you with me? I went to Uganda, my first Africa home. Any Ugandans? No? Okay. For a similar reason, evangelistic campaign, 3 weeks, city of Kampala, capital city. I was in my hotel where I was staying, nice hotel. I came down to the lobby for reasons I don't recall. I saw a young lady. I said, "Who are you? What's your name?" You know, preachers must be nosy. Can you say amen? You have to be nosy. Although the Bible says you mustn't be a busybody in other men's matters, but that's not for preachers, that's for you. And so I said, "Who are you? What's your name? What are you doing?" She told me, "My name is Lydia." Then she asked me, "Why are you here?" I told her, I said, "I want you to come." She said, "Okay, but I have no transportation." I said, "A car comes for me 5:30. Be ready, I'll pick you up." So every day the car came, she came. Got baptized. That's about 10 years ago. She's faithful in the church. I saw her this past April. I was there for 2 weeks. Why am I telling you this? To say evangelism does not have to be you standing in a pulpit in Papua New Guinea. Can you invite a neighbor? Do you know how many men are in prison because a friend invited them to do something? And they said yes. Do you know how many people are fighting drug addiction because a friend invited them? Do you know how many people are dead because a friend invited them? And do you realize how many will be in the kingdom because a friend invited them and did nothing else? Grow Michigan. Don't wait for the conference evangelist. And whomever. Ask yourselves, "Father, what can I do?" That's all. A simple invitation may result in someone being saved in God's kingdom. Believe that God has multitudes of people waiting to be included in the numbers that shall make the seed of Abraham as numerous as the stars of heaven. Forget what the person looks like. Just remember the person looks just like you because you and the person are sinners. And be a part of Grow Michigan. As Abraham grew God's people, but he bought them, born in his house, the numbers grew. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 14, when Lot was captured by four armies, the Bible says, and Abraham armed his trained servants, 318. Those were just the men fit to fight. What about those too old and those too young? Abraham had hundreds and hundreds of servants. Every man circumcised. Many of them non-Hebrews like Eliezer. I'll ask you a question, answer me honestly. How many of you, listen to me carefully, you have never, as far as you know, been directly responsible for leading one person to Jesus? Can I see your hand? You have never been responsible for anyone walking into that baptismal pool. Here's what I want you to do. Make an arrangement with God. Say, "Father, between now, June 13, 2015, and June 13, 2016, Father, use me to bring how many? One person to Christ. One." There are times when I think there should be a thunderous amen and I hear nothing. Let me repeat what I propose. Ask God to use you between today and June 13, 2016 to lead one person to Christ, studies, and that baptismal pool. You've already brought someone. Ask God, "Help me to bring somebody else." How many of you, in the presence of a holy God, will say, "Father, use me to be the instrument that brings someone to you in the next 12 months. Can I see your right hand?" Do you mean that? Stand up. Just one. That one may be your husband. That one may be your son who left the church. That one may be the supervisor who has given you a hard time for years. That one may be the neighbor next door. One in 12 months. Here's what you do. Identify, if you know the person, if you don't, say, "Father, every day, Lord, lead me to that person or lead that person to me." Do a little studying of God's Word. Get the book, Bible Readings for the Home. Have you ever seen that book?
Yes.
Simple. It's like the Catholic Catechism. Question, answer, question. Get that book. Go and buy it tonight. When did I say? If the bookstore is open. Tell them I sent you. Bible readings for the home. Teach yourself. Then be ready when God brings someone to, even if you can't explain the Bible, when someone comes to you, you can say, I know someone who can explain it. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, if I have preached badly, forgive me. Take my meager human effort, dear God, and through the work of your Spirit, repair any damage I may have done. Shape this message like a needle and prick every heart. Father, bring us to conviction. We must do the work because you will not come and do it yourselves. But Father, if we continue to dilly-dally and waste time, you may be forced to make the stones cry out. But Father, we don't want stones to do what we are commissioned to do. Father, we've made a decision, a commitment, Lord. We want to be responsible, not for pride, but just to contribute to your kingdom, for bringing one person to Christ between June 13, 2015 and June 13, 2016. Father, surely this is possible with your help. And so, Father, you know our skills, our abilities, our strengths, our weaknesses. Send that person to us or lead us to that person. Bless every man, woman, boy, and girl, every family. Bless this conference, dear God, the very first one organized in the history of this church. As the church began to grow in this conference, let the actions that lead to the closing of the work take place in this conference. Let all God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a pleasant night. Come back tomorrow in the name of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.